presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Bing Crosby, Joan Caulfield, James Dunn, and Elizabeth Patterson in Sing You Sinners. Ladies and gentlemen, your guest producer, Mr. Mitchell Lyson. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. We have in our cast tonight a rather unusual combination. First and foremost, the winner of this year's Academy Award is the Outstanding Motion Picture Actor. Second, a man who combines his thespian talents with such business projects as a cattle ranch, an airplane foundry, and a Hollywood producing unit. Finally, we have a genial performer who plays Hollywood's best golf and wears the most outrageous shirts in screendom. These are not three men, of course, but one, Bing Crosby. He appears tonight in his original screen role in Sing You Sinners from my own home studio, Paramount, where Bing has just finished his forthcoming picture, Road to Utopia. Co-starred with Bing on our stage tonight is another veteran and ever-popular performer, James Dunn. While in behalf of romance, we present the fresh and glamorous Joan Caulfield, who will soon be seen in her first starring role in Paramount's Miss Susie Slagle. Also in tonight's cast is the lovable Mrs. Beebe, is Elizabeth Patterson, who played the same role on the screen. Sing You Sinners is the story of a happy-go-lucky family before the war, their trials and laughter, fortunes and misfortunes. A family perhaps not quite like yours and mine, but typically American in their loyalty, romanticism, and good humor. I don't know whether they use Lux Flakes or not, but if they're typically American, it's certainly a safe guess that they do. Maybe that's what keeps them singing. And maybe that formula will have the same effect on you. For a song in your heart as you wash those dishes and wash those precious fabrics clean, try Lux Flakes. Now let's meet the Beebe family as the curtain rises on Act One of Sing You Sinners, starring Bing Crosby as Joe, James Dunn as David, Joan Caulfield as Martha, and Elizabeth Patterson as Mrs. Beebe. When a good mother has stood for hours over a hot stove so that her three sons may have a healthful and appetizing dinner, and when those three sons are late, as usual, and the dinner is slowly being cooked away to nothingness, the good mother has a perfect right and privilege to bang the pots about. Mrs. Beebe is banging her pots about right now.
Won't even be fit for the dog. I want to know better by now. I'll try and pick something decent for... Is that you, Dave?
That's me. Hello, Mother.
Hello, Mother, my eye. I suppose it'll never mean a thing to you that when you say you want supper at 6 o'clock, I expect you to be here to eat it.
I'm sorry, Mom, but I had to work overtime. The fella came in late with a brake relining job. What's for dinner, Mom?
Don't touch that pot.
Ouch. Ooh, it's hot.
Told you not to touch it.
Pot roast, huh? Why can't we have macaroni sometime?
Because as long as I'm cooking, we'll eat for our health around here. You know macaroni makes Joe fat.
Yeah. Well, it's not macaroni. It's lack of work.
There's Michael. Every time he comes in, the pictures fall off the wall.
I'm home, Mom.
We hear you.
Hiya, Dave.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Mom.
What are you doing lately? Going to night school?
What makes you say that, Mom? Hey, what's for supper?
Don't touch that pot!
Ouch! Pot roast, huh? Joe's favorite. Why don't we ever have hot dogs? I love hot dogs like my own life.
Take off your hat. Go wash your face.
Okay, okay.
What were you doing, Michael? Why were you so late?
I was studying at the library.
Studying?
Studying what?
Oh, about the world and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, we know.
Here I am, Mom.
About time, too.
Hiya, man.
Hiya, Joe.
Hello, Joe. Hello, Mom. How are you?
Where were you?
Looking for a job?
Yeah, at the pool room.
That is not kind, David. Well, Mom, what goes on the menu tonight?
Don't touch that pot!
Oh!
Don't you boys ever learn?
Well, fill my mouth. Pot roast.
Yes. Sit down before it dries up and blows away. If we don't get a little more order around here, I'll never cook another bite, so help me. Someday, you night owls will come home, find me lying on a chaise lounge eating chocolate bonbons. Michael, where are you going?
I want to get the ketchup.
Get the chili sauce while you're up, huh?
Bring the mustard, too, Mike.
I already got it. Here.
Oh, dear. What's the use of cooking a decent meal and watching a bunch of idiots splatter it with junk? Take some of that cauliflower, Michael.
Oh, Ma, it smells like old laundry.
I said take some cauliflower.
Okay, okay. Gee, I...
Dave, I saw you driving Martha home today. You weren't saying a word, just driving along, stiff as a poker.
Pass the rolls, will you, Joe?
You know, if I had a little number like that dog in my tracks for 3 years, I'd give myself up.
Joe, be quiet.
You shut your trap about Martha.
Now, what's the matter with you? All I keep saying is, why don't you marry the gal?
You know darn well why I don't marry her. Because you haven't got enough vinegar to pitch in and help keep this family going.
Listen, can I help it if there's nobody in this burg with ideas for a guy like me to latch himself onto?
What ideas? Outsmarting some chump at a pool room hall for a couple of bucks? Or swapping your shirt for the brass doorknob?
Brass monkey, you mean? All right, go ahead. Razz me all you want about swapping, but you can't show me a big man in this country today who didn't get where he is by swapping something for something.
Or something.
Dave, you shouldn't lay into Joe that way. Why don't you go ahead and do what he tells you?
Sure, get married. And then find out you can't take care of yourselves after I think I'm set. No thanks.
Well, now listen.
Let's quit talking about
it. I'm only trying to tell you what I did this afternoon.
What?
Well, I got us a job at a dance in Pleasanton.
You got... Oh!
Listen, Joe. How many times do I have to tell you I don't want any more of that trio stuff?
It's a job, ain't it?
It's that kind of a... Is that the only kind of a job you can get? One way you have to drag Mike and me in on it?
All right. I don't like it any more than you do, but what am I going to say when a man offers his $15?
Yes, what should he say to that?
Now, look, Joe. I work in a garage, see? I've got a decent job, and I like it. And if you expect me to spend my nights blowing my brains into a clarinet while you sing to a lot of screwballs bouncing around a dance floor, well, I'm a man, doggone it, and I want to stay one.
Me too. I build up a tough reputation working out horses at the fairgrounds all summer, and then bang, you shove an accordion into my hands and turn me into a Buster Brown.
You keep quiet.
Oh, look, Dave, I know how you feel. You feel the same way as I do about singing, but
you just... Oh, is that so? After I've spent every last cent your father left us to teach you music... You all go around rubbing you won't play or sing because you're men. What's the matter with you, men sing?
I don't care, Mom. I won't do it.
Me neither.
All right, the whole thing's off.
It is not off. Now get this straight, all of you. As long as you can earn a nickel by opening your trap or squeezing the music box, you're going to do it. When is this dance at Pleasanton?
Tonight.
Well, start getting dressed.
Now, listen, Mom, I got a date with Nora and Martha tonight.
Nora.
Take Martha to the dance.
No, I won't do it.
We'll see about that.
Joe didn't have any right to book a dance.
I tell you, it's no use.
Anyway.
I'm going out with Martha, and that's settled.
Any more than you do.
I say you're going, all of you. So you might as well shut up about it and start getting ready.
I'm no millionaire. But I'm not the type to care. Two courses. Go right ahead. Keep your tempo going. That's right, Olu. You keep doing what you do. It opens up with the clarinet and the accordion and then the band. Band sneaks in. Thank you. Thank you, not to interrupt. Oh,
thought you were grand, Dave, all of you.
Oh, thanks, Martha. I hated to drag you out this way.
Oh, don't be silly, Dave. I liked it.
Yeah, but look, you may not like what's coming next.
Well, what's the matter, darling?
Well, a fella called from town. There's a truck stall out on Highway number 9.
You mean you've got to go out there?
Well, I could pick up $10 pretty easy, Martha. And every nickel counts on that house we're going to build someday.
Oh, we'll build that house, all right. You wait and see. Go ahead, darling.
You sure you don't mind, honey?
As a matter of fact, I insist. I'll need that $10 for Drake.
Gee, darling. It's sort of like a dream, isn't it?
Yes. But that truck isn't. Hurry up and get it unsold.
Okay. I'll get Joe to take you home. Wait a second. Joe. Hey, Joe.
Here you are, Dave. Here's the pickings. George, that's pretty easy dough for a couple of songs, huh?
Yeah, Joe, but look. Do me a favor, will you? Take Martha home for me.
What goes?
Well, I got a job to do. I'll take Mike along to help, and you can have the couple. Here's a buck. You can buy her a sandwich and coffee on the way.
Thanks. Hey, you're getting kind of generous with your little girlfriend, aren't you?
Well, if you can't trust your own brother, what do you say?
Sure. You're willing to let her go out with me? Why should I squawk? Give me the keys to the car, huh?
Here, and take it easy. I want her back in one piece.
Kind of tough having the boyfriend walk out on you, huh?
No, I don't mind. It's all for a good cause. Dave and I will make up for it someday when we're married. Whenever that may be.
Don't tell me. I know. As soon as I get a job, I'm holding.
Why don't you, Joe? You could easily.
Just not my style. When money comes my way, it's going to come fast and plenty. You wait.
I am waiting.
Not exactly on your side at that. Too bad you aren't my girl.
What?
I wouldn't worry about the family until after the wedding. Then I'd have you and nothing else would matter anyway.
I wish Dave felt that way. I mean, sometimes I do.
But unfortunately, you're not my Lily. Except for tonight. Well, here we are.
Here we are where?
Dave told me to put the feed bag on you, didn't he?
You mean we're going to that joint over there?
What do you mean, joint? That's the finest roadhouse in these parts. That's the old Straggle Inn.
Straggle Inn and Stagger House. Listen, I don't even come here with Dave.
All the more reason why you should see it. Touch of nightlife's good for you.
Do you think Dave would mind?
Why should he squawk? It's only his girl and his money. Come on, let's go. Well, what do you think of it? Pretty sharp, huh?
Where do all these people come from?
They come from our finest family. Practically.
Well, I still say we shouldn't be here.
What's wrong with this place? It's nice, quiet, restful.
Oh, brother.
Well, don't you think so?
All right, you good people, all right. Now, I really think that with a little bit of applause, we might be able to bring about a little bit of extra added attraction here tonight. Now, sitting over there is that Stokesbury flash himself, Master Joe Beebe. Come on, Joe, what do you say? How about?
Oh, for the love of me.
Oh, go on, Joe.
Well, I guess you mean it, but I'll hold it against you.
That's the idea. Step right up, Joe.
Thanks, Loudmouth.
Well, what'll it be, fella?
Let's take a whack at Don't Let That Moon Get Away and wait for me on the curves, huh? A one, a two.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Not at all. I'm glad to do it for you.
Here you are, miss. Here you are, Joe.
Hey, who ordered the drink?
Compliments to the bartender.
Thanks, partner.
I can't do this, though.
Well, you have to. Compliments to the bartender.
Here you are, miss.
Here you are, Joe.
Now what?
Compliments to the band leader. And there's another round coming up from one of the customers.
Oh, my.
Please, well, I'm beginning to see where music has its good points. What's the matter? What's so funny?
You, for a fellow who hates music, do you know how many times you sang at that place?
Dolls were for you.
Oh.
Matter of fact, if you weren't Dave's girl, I'd tell you I love you.
Oh, you don't love me. You're just feeling good.
Same thing. How do you feel?
Oh, fine. A little excited.
That's love.
Oh, it is not. It's compliments of the house.
You know what I bet? I'll bet we'd get along like $1 million. What do you like that Dave for, anyway?
Oh, I don't know. Lots of reasons, I guess.
You better give a little thought to me, babe. I'm a barrel of monkeys when I get started.
You?
See, there, I haven't even opened my mouth, and I'm a riot. Yoo-hoo! Alley, alley, out, sin free! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, beefsteak! Yoo-hoo!
Hey, Joe, you're passing now!
My cash closed! Yippee! There you are, Marcy. Joe Beebe delivers him safe and sound.
And a little bit late.
Dave!
Well, how are you, Pappy? You been waiting here for us?
Yeah, where were you?
We was taking in the sights. I was showing the little woman what she's missing by marrying you.
You're drunk.
He didn't buy the drinks, Dave. They just kept giving them to him and asking him to sing.
All right, Pappy, I'm lit. When I took your girl out, I showed her the first good time she's had since she started going with me. So what?
If you weren't my brother, I'd...
Yeah, you're America's big brother. You're honest, you're hardworking, you're industrious, and you're stupid as a duck. Why don't you get wise to yourself, you big chump?
Why, you...
Dave! Oh, Dave.
I didn't mean to do that. All of a sudden, I... Go inside, Martha, will you? I'll see you tomorrow.
He didn't realize what he was saying, Dave.
I know. Go on in, will you? I'll take him home. Good night.
Good night.
Come on, Joe. Come on, get up. I didn't mean it, Joe. Come on, kid, stand up. Take it easy now. I don't want you to wake up Mom.
You should have hit me harder, Dave. Why didn't you hit me harder? You know what I'd do with a guy like me, Dave? I'd prop him up against the wall, I'd shove my fist right through his kisser. Why didn't you hit me harder, Dave?
Now be quiet.
I tell you, you really should have.
Shut up, will you? Go inside and I'll get you to bed.
I can't see anything.
Well, the bed's right over here.
I found it.
Quiet.
Dave, Joe, what's the matter?
Mike, get out of here.
What? Gosh, what happened to you, Joe?
I got what was coming to me, that's all. I'll beat it, kid. What?
Did somebody slug you? Are you okay, Joe? Oh, boy.
Mike, get out of here before you wake up Mom.
But he's in trouble, ain't he? I gotta help.
We don't need you, Mike. Now, go on, get out of here.
Okay. Gee.
Come on, get your clothes off.
Dave, sometimes I turn into such a heel, I surprise even myself. You know what I was going to do tonight? I was trying to move in on your gal. How do you like that?
Give me your foot.
I'm glad you clunked me, Dave. You don't have to worry about Martha, boy. She's all for you. I'm all for both of you.
Give me your other foot.
You think I'm no good, but I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to fix it so you can marry Martha. You watch me, Dave. You know what I think of what you've done for me and this family? Never squawking and unless somebody gets way out of line. You're the kind of fellow I want to be, Dave.
Yeah, I know. Come on, get under the covers.
Did I tell you about my surprise, Dave? Did I tell you?
Yeah, you told me. Good night.
Mm. Good night, Dave. Good night, Pappy.
Good night, Joe.
I heard him opening and closing the drawers.
He can't be going.
Where would he go?
All right, Mom. Now calm down. I'll speak to him.
He was out all day looking for a job. Bill Hoskins told me. He was trying to get a job doing anything.
Hello, folks.
Joe, you packed a grip.
Yeah, I'm leaving, Mom.
Why, Joe?
Well, you don't have to ask me that, Mom. I'm going to Los Angeles. I'm going to prove that I can amount to something. I'll send for you. Send for Mike. The minute I get set.
But we want you here.
Oh, I know where I belong. Now, please don't ask me to stay.
All right, Joe. Not even for dinner. It's pot roast left over.
I'm sorry, Mom. Give us a kiss, huh?
Oh, Joe.
Well, Dave?
I'm going to ask you not to leave, Joe.
Me too.
Thanks, Oliver, but this is the way I want it.
Well, whatever you say.
You know, Dave, we don't see things the same way, and I'm wise. I don't fit into this town, so I'm gonna go where I can do the family some good. You're going to be surprised one of these days when I send for the folks and I give you the okay on marrying Martha.
If that's why you're leaving, Joe, you don't have to.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, you'll need some money.
No, thanks. This is on me. So long, Dave.
So long, Joe.
Be seeing you soon, Mom.
Oh, Joe, I wish you wouldn't.
I got to. Goodbye. So long, Mike. Dave.
Well, gee. Well, he finally made his break. I'm sorry he did. But I'm glad, too, because it'll bring out the fight I know he's got in him. His pa was the same way. Just drifted along without a worry in the world till you boys started coming. Then he dug in and worked without stopping till the day he died. God bless him. I'm going upstairs.
Good night, Mom. You know, Mike, you don't realize until he's gone just how you feel about him. Good night, Mike.
Good night. Gee, this is a darndest family.
In just a moment, we'll bring you the second act of Sing You Sinners, starring Bing Crosby, James Dunn, Joan Caulfield, and Elizabeth Patterson. Why, Sally, come out from behind that magnifying glass and hunting cap. I hardly recognize you.
Shh, Mr. Kennedy, I'm a detective.
Oh-ho! And what kind of a mystery are you detecting?
A murder.
Oh, give us the gory details.
The pale, lifeless body was found in a trash can in an alley. One shoulder was broken and the sides were torn and mutilated.
How horrible! Did Sally Sherlock find any clues as to the perpetrator of this foul deed?
Mm-hmm. One Monday morning, I saw a girl hanging out her wash. The colors were faded and the print dress she had on looked drab. She was drying nice slips and nighties that should have been hung indoors right out in the bright sunlight.
So that made her a suspect?
A very good one. I followed her to market, and what do you suppose she was buying?
Poison?
It was a box of strong wash day soap, although there was a package of Lux Flakes staring her right in the face. That clinched it. I knew I had to act quickly then to prevent another murder.
I hope you caught her in time.
Yes, I burst into her kitchen just as she was about to torture her latest victim. She was putting a lovely satin slip into hot water and strong suds.
Did she plead guilty?
Of course. All the evidence was against her. The hot water and strong soap, rough handling, and the faded clothes on the wash line and poor discarded slip in the alley.
Oh, so the body was a slip.
Yes, its color was lifeless, its shoulder straps frayed, and its side seams pulled apart from careless washing. That girl was guilty, all right, guilty of murdering her nice undies and robbing them of the long life they could have led.
What was the sentence?
Life. I sentenced her to give her undies long life with gentle Lux Care.
But that's no punishment, Sally. With Lux Care, her nice underthings would stay lovely three times as long as they did with hot water, strong soap, and rough handling. Tests prove it.
Well, I figured she'd had enough punishment already, Mr. Kennedy. Always having to buy new lingerie only to have it fade and wear out too soon. So from now on, she'll use nothing but gentle Lux Flakes and lukewarm water. And her undies will stay color bright and new looking throughout a long and useful life.
Back now to Mitchell Lyson and our stars.
The curtain rises on Act Two of Sing You Sinners, starring Bing Crosby as Joe, James Dunn as David, Joan Caulfield as Martha, and Elizabeth Patterson as Mrs. Beebe. Long months have passed and nothing has been heard from Joe since he left home. At last comes a telegram for Mrs. Daisy Beebe.
Dear Mom, pick up Mike's other shirt. Pack up Mike's other shirt and hurry to Los Angeles. I'm in the swap shop business and cleaning up. Tell Dave to get married before Martha realizes her mistake. Love, Joe. Mike! Joe's got a swap shop. He wants us with him. We're going to Los Angeles.
There he is, Mom. There's
Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Well, I thought you'd never get here. How are you, Mom?
Joe, I'm so glad to see you.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
Well, you sure did it, didn't you? Look at that suit he's got, Mom.
You look good, Joe.
Oh, you bet. We're riding high now. Hey, Redcap, get those bags there, will you?
Yes, sir. Want a cab?
Why, I certainly do. Why not?
A cab? Oh, boy.
Come on. Say, Mom, why didn't Dave get married before you left?
Well, he just wanted to be sure that everything was all right here.
All right? Oh, are you kidding?
Joe, I'm so happy.
Where do you live, Joe? You got a swimming pool?
No, not yet, kid, but give me a couple of weeks.
So anxious to see the house, Joe.
Well, we're not going home right away. You got to make a stop first. And you better get ready for the biggest surprise of your life.
Oh, Joe.
Right over there, driver. Just pull up in front of that barn. Huh?
Okay.
So what is this place?
It's a racetrack, ain't it, Joe?
Hold your hats, folks. Okay, driver, you can wait.
Yes.
Come on, Mom.
What in the world?
Right over here now.
Howdy, Mr. Joe.
Morning, fella. How's the big boy today?
He's just fine, Mr. Joe. Hear that? He's getting to know you already.
Hi, Gus, old boy.
Joe, will you please tell us?
Folks, I want you to meet Uncle Gus, the grandest racehorse that ever peeked through a bridle.
Racehorse?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Mom, if you ever looked your fortune in the face, there it is. There's the horse that's going to carry the three of us right into that field of clover.
You mean it's ours? Really ours?
Front and back.
Oh, boy.
Joe, do you mean to tell me you can afford to keep a racehorse out of what you take in at the swap shop?
Swap shop? Oh, I haven't got that anymore. Swapped it.
You swapped it?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Uncle Gus.
But where are you working?
Well, I'm working right here, training Uncle Gus.
You get paid for it?
No.
Well, where do you make your money?
Well, I'm not making any right now, but as soon as Uncle Gus starts racing, it'll only be a couple of months, we'll be working purses from
Joe, do you realize that you sent for us, told Dave to get married, told us to sell a house?
There's nothing to worry about, Mom. Things might be a little tight for a while, but... Yeah, I got a nice little house, 2 months' rent paid in advance, credit at the market, credit for Uncle Gus's feed bill.
Sure, he don't need a job. We got a racehorse. Can I ride Uncle Gus, Joe? Can I be a jockey?
Such a trip. Joe, are you crazy? What are you going to do when your credit runs out? Are we supposed to go back home and move in on Dave and Martha?
Oh, that's not going to happen. Now, believe me, Mom, you got to take a chance if you're going to amount to something. My chance came.
Yes, your chance came, and you traded yourself right out of it, just the same as you've done ever since you were old enough to have a thought in your head. And now what? Where do we go from here, Big Shot?
Don't worry. Whatever you do, don't worry. Say, you got a dollar for filter? Got to keep him eating, eh?
Oh, dear.
Just a dollar. It'll be plenty. Thanks, Mom. Here you are, filter. Pork chops tonight, huh?
Thank you, sir.
Keep Uncle Gus in good shape. You stay right under them hind feet.
Yes, sir, all the time.
Come on, Ma. So long, fella.
So long, boss.
Do you want me to stay here, Joe? Don't you think I ought to stay with Uncle Gus?
Oh, no, we're going on home. That is, if Mom's got the cab fare.
Now, listen, Joe.
Oh, Mom, stop worrying, will you? Come on home. Let's talk this old thing over. This here is the living room. That's the dining room over there, back of that screen. Isn't much of a place, I know, but... You stay, won't you, Mom, huh? Please.
Nothing else we can do. And remember this.
I'll say we'll stay. Look at me, I'm Uncle Gus. I'm coming around the turn. I'm coming like a house of fire. I'm way ahead.
Stop it, Michael. I say remember this. As far as Dave and Martha are concerned, you still have the swap shop and you're earning money. They mustn't find out the truth. You understand?
Okay, Mom.
Because no matter what happens to us, you're not going to ruin things again for them.
Can you imagine that? All upset when we got us a racehorse. Mom, if I didn't know you so well...
Quiet.
Yes, I'm afraid we all know each other too well.
Hello, Mom. We're back.
Hiya, Mom. What's for supper, Mom?
There's a stew for supper, as usual. Well, did you get that fool horse entered in a race yet?
That's fine talk. Just after he breezes 3/4 and 1/14 flat.
Breezes 1/14.
Hard hell.
I asked you a simple question in plain English. When is Uncle Gus going to run?
Uncle Gus will parade postward in a couple of weeks. We've got to wait for our spot.
Man, it's been a couple of weeks for the last 2 months. Michael, I told you not to clean those jockey boots in the kitchen. We're going to leave this house like we found it.
Oh, Ma.
Hey, that's right. We'll get kicked out of here in a couple of days, huh? Three days, I think, as a matter of fact.
In three days.
Yes, like that.
And you sit there like a king reading that crazy horse paper.
Do you realize we won't even have a roof over our heads?
Probably, but in a couple of weeks, we'll be right back on the top again.
Yes, on top of the bread line.
Answer that, Michael.
Oh, answer it, Michael. Tell him we'll pay him next week.
Okay, I'm getting good with that yarn.
Just one thing I can be thankful for. That is, Dave and Martha don't know what's happening here. If Dave ever found out...
Settle down, Mom. Now, settle down. Nobody's going to find out about anything.
Hiya, son.
Oh,
Mike. Well, looky here. Hey, Mom, it's Dave and Martha.
All right, Mom. What do we do? How are we out?
I don't know. Well, I mean, just act like those letters you wrote. Everything's fine now. Get it? Stay in there.
Yes, everything's fine.
Hey there. Oh. Hiya, Joe.
Oh, Dave.
Hiya, Dave. Hello, Mom.
Hello, Mrs. Beebe.
Oh, what... Oh, well, are you married? Are you on your honeymoon?
Better yet, we're going to be married right here.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. I did so want to see the wedding.
Well, that's what we thought. The whole family, you know.
Say, Dave, have you heard the news? Joe's got himself a race.
Ouch!
What's the matter?
Be quiet, Michael. Go straighten out your room. Oh, he's so darn fidgety.
Oh, go on.
Okay.
Well, how do you like our house, then?
Oh, it's quite a place. We're going to build ourselves pretty soon.
When do you have to go back?
Oh, in 4 or 5 days.
Oh.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Only we are moving in 3 days, oh, and I...
Well, what's the matter with this?
Well, it's kind of small.
Say, you must be a one-man riot in this town.
Oh, great.
I know. But anyway, I'm not proud. How about getting married right here, huh? Throw a little feed somewhere so nobody will have to cook. Mm-hmm. Wine with the grub, maybe, huh?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, it'll be kind of nice all being together. Oh, say, Joe, I got a laugh for you.
Yeah.
I brought all our old instruments along so you can dump them in the swap shop. The accordion, the clarinet, and your guitar. Sure feel good to know they're gone, huh?
Yes, won't it?
Hey, look, Dave, look at me. Our own colors.
Michael.
Well, what's the idea of the jockey suit?
Look, Dave, I'm coming into the stretch. It's Uncle Gus by a head, Uncle Gus by a length, Uncle Gus pulling away. Look at me go.
Hey, what is this? What's the idea?
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you. I'm a real apprentice jockey now, and I'm going to ride Uncle Gus that Joe traded for his swap shop. And I'm going to win on him, too, because we got to win on him. I'm kind of getting kicked out of this place. Can you stay and see me ride, Dave? Can you...
Shut up. Well, Joe, what about this?
Well, there's much to tell. Except we got this Uncle Gus, set at a swap shop, and we got a chance to make a lot of money, too.
And you're going
to
get kicked out of here.
David, I don't think we ought to burden Martha with any family troubles.
This is a great thing to walk into after planning like we did. Martha, would you step outside for a few minutes?
Oh, certainly, but Dave, no matter what happens...
Please, Martha.
All right, darling.
Now, David... I think...
It was nice reading in your letters how well Joe was doing.
But I thought it was better...
Yeah, it was better to lie instead of telling me the facts. That Joe's no better than he ever was. That he can no more take care of a family than he can fly.
It's all right now, aren't they?
What are you using for money?
Well, there's a fellow down...
We have credit.
I promised me a little... Sure, we're loaded. We got plenty.
Swell. And who's going to pay off?
I am, as soon as my horse starts running.
Joe, if I thought it'd do any good, I'd smack you right in the kisser. All right, sit down and let's have it straight. Where do you stand and how long can you hold out?
Well, it's like...
Well, Dave, what's the bad news?
Can you imagine a guy like that sending for his family?
They're broke, aren't they?
Worse than that. They're $400 in debt and not a chance to pay off. And mother and the kid living on beans.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Well... There's only one thing to do. Stay here and get him straightened out.
And me?
Well, maybe it won't take long, Martha, if you'll only wait.
Oh, but why? Let's be married tomorrow, just as we planned, and I can stay here and help.
Drag you into this mess? Marry you into a family that won't even have a place to hang its hat?
Oh, I'll try to get a job here. I will get one. That'll help some.
Can't you understand, Martha, that the one thing I want to do is be able to take care of you and give you that house and everything that we've talked about? But marrying you now, moving you into a lot of trouble, I'm just not going to do it.
I understand. You don't think the way I do, Dave, and never will. Because if you did, you wouldn't care what was happening. You'd only know that you loved me and wanted me, and nothing on earth could stop you from having me.
Martha.
Oh, you'll never get this family set. They won't change, and I love them for it. I'm going home now, Dave, and I don't want to hear from you again until you realize that they're going to be just as much a part of our future as we are, trouble and all. You better find that out in a hurry, Dave. Goodbye.
Where's Martha? She ain't upstairs. Where'd she go, Dave?
She's gone. And I don't blame her.
Why?
After what you've done, you pull that? Joe, if I did half what I wanted to do, I'd kick you all the way back to Stokesbury. I've lost Martha. I'm losing my job on account of you. And now I'm damn near, darn near losing my mind. Now grab that guitar and stand up.
What for?
Go on. You, Mike, get your accordion.
What did I do?
It's not what you did. It's what you're going to do. Now play.
Play what, Dave?
Play anything.
Okay, okay.
Joe, you sing.
I'm no million.
Sing before I ram the clarinet down your throat.
Now listen, Dave.
Now we're going to rehearse, see? And we're going to get a job. I'll put this family on its feet if I have to break everybody's leg doing it. Now louder. Louder.
How about I'm not the type to care? Nothing by the pool room.
Small flies
would be in the school room.
My, put down that cigarette.
You ain't a grown up high and mighty yet.
Small flies
dancing for a penny.
Small flies
counting up how many.
My,
chorus and a half, Lou. Oh, just one, sir. Was it effective?
Thank you.
You're right, and I just read that line. Wish I was dead. Came in too soon.
Dave?
Well, I don't think so. Every night I work in this joint, I feel more like cutting my throat.
Well, when Uncle Gus wins tomorrow, oh, boy.
Wins, huh?
It's a sure thing, I hope. What do you say, Mike?
Well, Joe, I've been excited so long thinking about riding Uncle Gus that now I'm kind of shaky, but don't worry about me, though. I'll be all right tomorrow.
Where are you going?
Well, that manager guy said he wanted to see me. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Now, what would the manager want to see Mike for?
Search me,
Oh, come in, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Come here. I want you to meet a friend of mine, Harry Ringmer.
How are you, son?
Yes, sir. Glad to know you, sir.
Mike's the kid I was telling you about, Harry. Works for me here, and he has his jockey papers to ride his brother's horse.
Uh-huh. Well, sit down, kid. What's the matter? You nervous?
No, sir. Just, you know, riding my first race tomorrow.
Mr. Ringmer's got a horse in that race, too. Mr. Banks.
Oh, yes, sir. Mr. Banks is a good horse, but ours is better.
Yeah. Maybe so. Think you'll win, huh?
I got to.
Why?
Well, we already caused my brother David a lot of trouble and his girl and just family reasons.
Oh, then it's too bad.
How do you mean?
Well, you're pretty green, kid. Lots of things can happen out there to spoil your cake. For instance, the rail.
Well, what about the rail?
Well, when you hit the stretch and the other boys start crowding you, it's tough going. I've seen a tear a kid's leg right out of the socket. Throw him under the horses.
Well, I ain't afraid.
You really need that dough, don't you?
We sure do.
Well, there's a way of turning a race into a sure thing sometimes. Know what I mean?
That's what my brother Joe likes. A sure thing. Yes, sir, that's good.
Oh, you've got a smart brother, kid. He knows what he's talking about.
He's smart, all right.
Sure he is. You know, we can help your family out plenty by taking your brother's tip. No worry about losing the race. No risk. No nothing. Just play the sure thing.
Huh?
Now, look. You've got $400 coming to you. If you win. Suppose another horse crowds you. What if you get pocketed and shoved up against the rail? What have you got? Nothing. Now, look. You ever see one of these before?
No, sir. $100 bill.
Well, that's yours. And three more like it tomorrow, if you don't win.
If I don't win? Hey.
Yeah, like your brother says, the sure thing. And you want to help your family, don't you?
Yeah, sure I do.
Okay. Al, would you mind stepping outside for a minute?
Not at all, Harry, not at all.
Thanks. Now, look, son. Hey, Al.
Hey,
Mike anyplace?
Mike? Oh, yeah, he just went back to the dressing room, I think.
Thanks.
Oh, Joe, wait.
Hmm?
How do you think Uncle Gus will do tomorrow?
Oh, he'll win, of course.
You think so?
We can't miss. What?
If you were a gambling man, I'd take you up on that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Al. I don't bet. What kind of odds?
2-1. That's as good as you'll get at the track tomorrow, maybe better.
You know, Al, you ought to be a little more careful with your dough. Uncle Gus is a sure thing.
Well, that's the way you feel.
Come on, now, put your money in the bank. Anyway, I couldn't bet if I wanted to. I ain't got a dime.
What difference does that make? You're working, aren't you? You can pay it every week.
Al, are you serious about this?
Well, sure, I want to bet against your Uncle Gus. I'll put up plenty, too.
Al, I wouldn't do this, only... You see, I'm sort of on my good behavior, if you know what I mean, and... Well, a sure thing's a sure thing. You got to bet.
We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Crosby, James Dunn, Joan Caulfield, and Elizabeth Patterson will be back in just a moment with Act Three of Sing You Sinners. Meanwhile, listen to this.
Butter, 24 points a pound.
Loin of pork, 12 points.
And a porterhouse steak, when I can get it, is 10.
Even margarine's up to 12 points. Why, I remember when that's all butter cost.
But I just don't see where I'm going to get enough points for it all.
Cheer up, ladies. There are extra red points waiting for you at your butcher's. 2 points for every pound of used fat you turn in. I know it's hard to save more fat when you're getting less meat, but it can be done. Here's how. First, keep your salvage can handy, near the stove, where it'll be ready to receive every drop. Then, after you've poured fat into the can, scrape the roaster, broiler, or frying pan with a spoon to get what's left in the corners. And don't forget to melt down those scraps of fat left on plates at the table. If you like boiled ham or frankfurters, set aside the water you've cooked them in and let it cool. Pretty soon you can skim quite a bit of soft white fat off the top. Poultry, too, yields a lot of fat. A point-free source of extra tokens if you don't use it in baking. All these things mount up, help you get more red points, and at the same time help supply the government and industry with thousands of necessities for the war and home front.
But do they still need so much used fat? The war seems to be going so well.
That... Yes, the Japs still hold many of the oil-producing Pacific Islands, and even on the ones we've just liberated, it'll be quite a while before they get into production again. So this year, it's up to us at home to turn in 80 million more pounds of fat than we did last year. Surveys show that 6 out of 7 women aren't salvaging all the used fat they could, and only if everyone does a 100% job will there be enough to meet the demand. The government especially urges housewives in small communities or rural sections to ask their county or home demonstration agent where to turn in the fat they've collected. Remember, our country needs every drop from everyone. We return you to Mitchell Lyson.
After the play tonight, we'll take you backstage for a brief talk with Bing Crosby and his co-stars. And now here's Act Three of Sing You Sinners, with Bing Crosby in the role of Joe, James Dunn as David, Joan Caulfield as Martha, and Elizabeth Patterson as Mrs. Beebe. The afternoon of the big race, 3 minutes before the horses go to the post. Just outside the jockey's dressing room, the gambler Ringler waits for Mike. As the boy comes through the door, Ringler grabs him quickly.
Just a second.
Oh, hello, Mr. Ringler.
How do you feel, kid?
Fine.
Another 300 bucks is waiting for you.
Yes, sir.
And you know what else is waiting for you if you try to get funny?
What do you mean?
It'll be the last trick you ever try on or off the track. Now, remember that.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll beat it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, boss.
Oh, Pete, you get the bet down?
Oh, sure. I got the whole $3,000 covered at 2-1.
Nobody got wise it was my money, huh?
Nah. We get $6,000 in sucker money the minute Mr. Banks wins. Hey, you sure that jockey and Uncle Gus won't cross you?
No, he's scared to death. Even if he does try to pull anything smart, my jockey will take care of him. Come on, let's go, Pete.
Hey, this is the only way to bet on the neck.
Riders ready? 2 minutes.
Everything okay, Mike?
I guess so, Joe.
Don't get excited. You just pretend it's a regular workout, see? Of course, don't forget that it's a race now. But sort of, well, you know.
Yeah, Joe, sure.
What's the matter? You feeling funny?
No. The only reason we want to win is the money, ain't it, Joe? We sure need the money, don't we?
Oh, boy, we need the money, all right, in more ways than one.
How else do you mean?
Well, I wasn't going to tell you because I didn't want to get you upset, but I bet our next 10 weeks' pay against $2,000 that we'd win it.
You did? Joe, this is awful.
Why?
I know it's wrong, but I was only trying to do like you always said. The sure thing, Joe, you know, the sure thing.
What did you do?
The man that owns Mr. Bank has given me $400 to lose the race.
What are you talking about?
It's terrible, ain't it, Joe? But we needed the money, and
now,
like
quit
you
quit telling me what I said.
But lots of
shut up.
Riders up. Riders up.
Come on, get up there.
All right, on the track.
Look, Mike, lean down here a minute, will you? Look, I've done some wrong things myself, plenty of them. What you've done is cheating. Can't you see that?
It got mixed up,
I know,
Joe.
Mike, but whatever we do, we can't do anything crooked. We mean too much to each other. There's family and everything. If one of us gets in the jam, why, it's going to hurt all of us. What if Mom found out, Mike?
I see what you mean. I just didn't have it straight what you meant about the sure thing.
Yeah, I guess it's all my fault. Here I am trying to tell you what's wrong, and I'm out betting yours and Dave's salary on the race.
And that's not wrong. You were just trying to make money for all of us.
She wouldn't feel that way about me, but... Mike, I've been wrong lots of times. But I gave you this bad steer without meaning to. Maybe it'd be better if you figured these things out for yourself, huh?
Whatever you say is okay with me,
Joe. All right, then. You'll go out there and win this race.
But I already got that $100.
Where is it?
In my boot. I didn't know where to hide it.
Give it to me. I'll take care of this. You do what I tell you now. Go out and win the race.
You'll stick with me, won't you? You'll stick with me if anything happens?
You're darn tootin'.
That's swell. You just watch me. We'll show you. Me and Uncle Gus.
Horses are nearing the starting gate.
How's everything,
Oh,
going?
Everything's great. Fine.
Oh, doesn't Mike look cute sitting up there all alone?
Yes, I hope he don't finish that way. Hey, Dave.
What?
Dave, there's liable to be trouble if our horse wins. Will you come around to the barn after the race?
Why?
Well, Ringer's paying Mike $400 to lose the race to Mr. Bank, and I just told Mike to go out and win it.
But why in the world would anybody want...
It's all my fault. He thought he was doing what I'd do. He's trying to get some money for us.
Listen, what's so important about this race? The purse money doesn't amount to a hill of beans, and we haven't got any bets. Or have we?
Well, yes, Dave, we have.
How much?
Dave, I hate to tell you this.
How much?
10 weeks' salary.
10 weeks'...
Now, don't get sore.
Don't get sore? I ought to break your neck.
I know, Dave.
Say, what are you two talking about?
Oh, nothing, Mom. Nothing at all. We just...
Oh. The horses are in the starting gate. It looks like a start. And there they go. Around the first turn, it's Mr. Bank in front by half a length. Sandy Man on the rail is second by half a length. Uncle Gus is third on the outside by a length and a half. Centurion's fourth by 2 lengths. And Fair Trial is fifth. Turning into the back stretch, it's Mr. Bank in front by half a length on the inside. Sandy Man on the outside is second by half a length. And Uncle Gus is third.
Come on, Mike, come on, come on.
It's Mr. Bank in front by a rail by 2 lengths. Sandy Man is on the outside, second by half a length. Uncle Gus is third between 2 horses.
Centurion fourth,
and Uncle Gus is moving up on the inside. It's Mr. Bank in front by a length and a half. Uncle Gus is second by a length, and Sandy Man is third. At the 3/4,
I said
he's trying
to win Uncle Gus a second. Shut up. He won't cross us if he does.
Fourth and Centurion. They're coming into the stretch. It's Mr. Bank in front by a length and a half. Uncle Gus is second by a neck, and Fancy is third. It's Mr. Bank and Uncle Gus, and they're driving hard. They're head and head. It's Mr. Bank and Uncle Gus. They're coming down to the finish now with Uncle Gus, the winner by a nose.
Joe! Joe! Who won?
It's all over, Mom. We win it.
Oh, we are.
All right.
Oh, we won.
Well, Mike, you sure did all right.
I was scared, Joe. They shoved me into the rail, so I shut my eyes. But I won, Joe, didn't I, huh?
Oh, you're a great ride, Mike. Hell of a ride.
Hey, look. There he is, Joe. Ringer. He's got a guy with him.
Come on. You got nothing to worry about, see? Just keep going.
Hello, kid. Nice race.
My brother's going to give you back your $100.
I'll take care of this, Mike. Here, Mr. Ringer. This belongs to you, doesn't it? Next time you get some extra money, you'll have to find a better way to spend it. We don't go for that.
Yeah?
That's right. Glad you like the race. Come on, Mike.
Come back here, you.
Leave that kid alone.
Grab this guy, Pete.
No, you
Listen,
don't.
You.
Look out, Joe.
Why?
Hey, now, kid, I'm going to teach you what it means.
Let me go. Let me go.
Run, Mike.
Dave, help.
Shut up.
Mike, where are you?
Here, Dave. Over here. Take him, Dave.
Take your hands off that
All
kid.
All right, sucker. You ask for it.
Keep after him, Dave.
Tend to your own cooking. I got this
oh,
guy.
Oh, Dave, Joe.
Get out of here.
I got to help. Let go of my
body. You will fight me, will you?
Oh, what's the matter? It's a fight, Mom. It's a fight, can't you see?
Oh, Dave, are you winning?
We ain't losing. And here's another for luck.
How do you like this one, mister?
Oh.
All right, lay off. Quit. Quit, I tell you.
Let me alone. I got enough. Let me alone.
Okay. Now get out of here.
Come on.
They're running. Look at them. Oh, boy.
Well, Dave, I guess we took them all right.
We sure did. Oh.
Dave.
Fainted.
Oh, Dave,
fainted.
You know, Dave, what do you want to go and do that? What?
Oh, Joe.
We got to figure this out. We won $2,000 on the bet.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
$425 on the win.
Uh-huh.
And $37 we had saved up before.
Uh-huh.
That's 7 and 5, 12, 6, $2,462.
Mm-hmm. Wow, we're millionaires.
And you're still earning $100 a week with your music.
That's out. We're quitting tonight.
But why?
Well, Dave's pulling out. See if he can get set somewhere. I figured we'd take Uncle Gus east for the big races. We don't need music anymore.
I see.
Keep moving. That's the ticket. New places.
Maybe buy another horse, huh, Joe? And start a big-time stable?
You got something there, buddy. We'll be in that winner's circle in Kentucky one of these days, huh?
Well, suit yourself. You're on your own now.
Finch, we're really going to go to town, aren't we?
Yep, old Quick Money Joe.
Haven't asked me what I'm going to do yet.
What do you mean?
Well, you're quitting your music, even though it pays you the best steady money you'll ever earn in your lives, just because you've had one lucky day. Dave's going one way and you're going another.
Oh, but with you and Mike.
Not with me.
Huh?
I'm telling you, I've raised the three of you, and I know you'll never amount to anything unless you stick together. Now what happened? David's trying to run away from himself because of a little trouble he's had with Martha. And you're going hog wild in a silly business that'll break you flat in the pancake. What if Uncle Gus gets a stomachache? What have you got then? Even Michael can't talk about anything but racehorses and tracks and sure things. What's he going to grow up to be? Now, I mean it. If you boys walk out on your job, I'm walking out on this family.
Oh, Mom, you're crazy.
Thank you.
Well, I don't mean you're crazy, but we know what we should do, Mom.
All right, I'm leaving.
Oh, but Mom.
Oh, Mom, you shouldn't act like that. You need someone to take care of you.
I'll take care of myself. Don't worry.
Oh, but listen.
Maybe we can figure this thing out, Mom. Now we.
Not the way you're figuring now. I'm going upstairs and back.
Well?
Yeah, I wonder what's come over her.
She sure acts like she means business.
Well, I guess there's only one thing to do.
Telegram, miss. Sign here.
Oh, thank you. Dear Martha, we are going to stay in Los Angeles soon. Please come back and marry the four of us. Love, Dave.
I wouldn't take all the wealth on Wall Street for a rose where nature trod. And I calculate I'm worth my weight in golden rod.
Our stars return for their curtain calls in just a moment. Whose picture is that, Libby? A new beau?
Mm-hmm. He's all of 3 months old.
A little too young for the Army yet, isn't it?
Yes, but the war's affecting his life, too. Just the other day, his mother said...
Honestly, Libby, you have no idea the time I'm having getting diapers for my offspring. Why, I've combed every store in town, and I still can't get enough.
Stop, isn't it?
What did you tell her, Libby?
Why, that the Army needs 136 yards of cotton material per year to equip every soldier from his overseas cap to his socks. That's enough to keep 3 babies well-dressed. So wartime infants just have to get along with less.
Hasn't the government done anything yet?
Oh. They're even investigating the situation in Congress. But there just doesn't seem to be enough cotton to go around.
What's the poor girl going to do?
Well, I gave her one tip that'll help her stretch the supply she has. I told her to lux them so they'll stay soft and comfortable longer. That way she can use the same ones over and over again and get along with 2 dozen instead of 3.
Sound advice, Libby. These days, when so many things babies wear are hard to get, it's extra important to take care of what you have. Use safe, gentle Lux suds for everything that touches his tender skin. Never use harsh soaps that may leave a film of irritating alkali. Lukewarm Lux suds keep babies' pretty colored dresses and sweaters new-looking longer, too. Use gentle Lux flakes for all babies' things. Here's Mitchell Lyson, our guest producer.
As a producer, I'm going to venture a prediction that in the future you'll hear a lot more about one of the young stars in our cast. Supported by Elizabeth Patterson, Joan Caulfield, and James Dunn, he's shown real promise on our stage tonight, Bing Crosby.
May open a part for me in the Honey in the Hay, John.
Well, Lux has a way of making stars and flakes.
You mean, Mitchell, that for Crosby there is hope.
And for hope, there is Kelowna, John. Well, Bing, I can give you some encouragement so far as pictures go. Last time I left this stage, I got a call from Fox to take the part of Johnny Nolan in A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Jimmy, when you leave this stage tonight, I hope you get another phone call for as big a part.
You say a word for me, eh, Jim?
Actually, Mitch, Bing doesn't have to worry whether he clicks in radio or pictures. You see, he has other interests.
Elizabeth, you mean horses?
Oh, the horses aren't an interest. They're a liability.
Elizabeth means Bing owns a part interest in a fighter.
Oh, you mean his company made the great John L. Tell us about the picture, Bing.
Oh, Mitch, I'm afraid people might misunderstand. You know, crass commercialism on the program of the...
Well, if that's the way you feel about it.
Of course, if you're going to press me...
No. You have a right to your high principles, but I bet you have a winner in that picture, Bing.
And if he hasn't, he's in the same old betting groove.
James, you know I never bet.
No?
Well, occasionally if I see a chance to pick up a happy parlay, get a lot of greenbacks and an acre of lettuce, I take the bite, I plunge.
Uh-huh, and that's not betting.
No, that's double talk. But tell me, what do you have in the way of a winner on Lux next Monday night, Mitch?
Next week we bring you from 20th Century Fox the story of a great man and a great dream, Alexander Graham Bell.
As you called him.
The June Dupre and Don Ameche. Among the many colorful sagas for America, few have as much suspense and romance as the life of the great inventor who enabled men to speak to his fellow men in every corner of the globe.
I wouldn't miss it, Mitch. Thanks, and good night.
Good night.
Good night, all, and our thanks. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Alexander Graham Bell with Don Ameche and Doon Dupre. This is Mitchell Lyson saying good night from Hollywood.
Sing You Sinners was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose current production is Salty O'Rourke, starring Alan Ladd and Gail Russell. Mitchell Lyson's next picture to be released for Paramount is Kitty. Heard in tonight's cast were Billy Roy as Mike, Eddie Marr, Leo Sharon, Earl Smith, Norman Field, Arthur Q. Bryan, Ed Emerson, and Charles Seal. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This program is broadcast to our fighting forces overseas through cooperation with the Armed Forces Radio Service. And this is your announcer, John M. Kennedy, reminding you to tune in again next Monday night to hear Alexander Graham Bell with Don Ameche and June Dupre.